Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody to the October 9th Code Enforcement Board hearing. And the meeting's called to order. Madam Secretary, we call the roll.
Ms. Pine?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Ms. Kovic?
Here.
And Ms. Lucas is not here at the moment. And well, for those of you that know, Mr. Bourne has resigned, so we're going to miss him and thank him for his many, many years of service.
All right. How long has he been on the board?
Since I've been here, it's been 7 years. I know it's been longer than that.
Okay. So will he get a letter from the city?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. The clerk's office does send out letters of appreciation and that for board members.
Okay.
Mr. Cino's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I'd like a motion to approve the September 11, 2014 meeting minutes.
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Harrington and a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Would anyone like to make a disclosure of ex parte communication? Okay. Do we have any announcements, Amy?
Yes, ma'am. We do have two cases that I'm aware of that have come into compliance since your agenda was sent out. And case number one for CED 09-14103, 635 El Dorado Street, was in compliance as of this morning. Number four, CED 09-14104 for 552 North Beach Street. I was in compliance as of October 3rd.
Okay.
I believe at this time that that's all the. Is there another question?
One and four. Oh, I don't know the date. Ask me. Amen.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Jackson has joined us.
Good morning.
So we're not going to be able to do the lien reviews?
We'll do it. Therefore, it's got to be four votes.
Four votes.
Four votes. Mm-hmm. All right. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
That the testimony about provided the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, here's the procedure for all of you in the audience, and good morning to all of you. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the microphone. The board hears from the code officers, and then you will be allowed the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. So, all right, we're going to start with our lien reviews today. So let's start with...
For the record, please understand, members of the board, that in order to approve a lien review and to do any negative change, all four of you must agree.
Okay. All right. So let's start with lien review number one. This is CEB 061372, 1246 Essex Road. Owner, Kenneth P. Connors, care of David Bush.
She just called your case right now.
I just called your case. Okay?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
I'm William David Bush with Action Property Management for Kenneth Connors.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you agree that some, or well, I guess we don't have to do that. Let's hear, I'd like to hear why you'd like the lien.
Oh.
Go ahead. What? There was nothing in the packet that indicated why you thought we should reduce the lien amount. Would you like to explain that?
What had come off this, Mr. Connors, I had contacted me to handle his property management for him because he was getting in a bad health situation, and he closed his business. He closed his office on Ridgewood and went to some of his family in New Smyrna. And during that meantime, I think he was in the hospital for a while and was in kind of like not too good a condition. Well, when the home caught fire, the lady that was there would not let me get in because she claimed she had a lease on the place, and they had the police every time I'd go out there. They'd threaten to lock me up. Okay, so I finally got with the cleanup people. They come in and clean the property. We got a permit. I got Mr. Steve Van Oren, getting his name, to get a permit. We got the permit, and I understand, since I have received the information back, that the following day we were out of compliance. I did not know it at that time because we had just got a permit the day before. We didn't know any of this. We just started getting the property ready. We followed the direction, every step that we were supposed to step, other than notifying or that we hadn't started getting the property ready because it was held up from us getting it ready. We had to call people out of Orlando to come in and do a professional cleanup on the property before we could even come into compliance to start doing the repairs. We started the repairs as soon as ASAP because we were losing money on Mr. Connors was on the rental. I started immediately getting the property ready. And we still went through the steps of getting all of our inspections done. When we got our last inspection, we thought we were ready to go because the gentleman had signed off on it and handed me the paper and said it was clear. So I immediately started getting it, cleaning it up then and getting it ready for people to move into it. Then I get the letter that about the compliance problem that I had. Well, I didn't really know what to do about it because I didn't know what I really didn't know. So I got with the general contractor and told him. So he went to trying to find out what he was supposed to do. He said that we were supposed to contact the code board even once we got our inspections clear. I had no knowledge of it. Don't guess the general contractor did, but we proceeded. And then we got this notice. I'm thinking, well, we didn't know. We didn't realize that we had this. Mr. Connors did not get the letter because he had moved and he had gone to New Smyrna. I never received it. Steve never received it. And we really did not realize that we had to go through the steps that we did. We thought we were doing what was proper. Since then, I've got the home has been inspected, and we've got a tenant in it, and I have a business license to do that. It's been inspected. And the fact is, we have highly improved the property, and it's really ready to go. And actually, we're kind of throwing ourselves at the court, at the mercy of the other courts, because a pure ignorance on our part, thinking that we were doing what we were supposed to do, but weren't any of the time. So I'm kind of like standing here with no real defense other than just pure ignorance on what to do, what we were supposed to do. That was really all it was. And we just got behind and we seen this, and we realized that we were out of compliance, but we didn't realize it none of the time. So we are asking for mercy on it.
All right. Can we hear from staff, please? Should have done that first. Sorry.
Yes. Excuse me. Now, Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector informs me that he was never notified, just as this gentleman indicates, Mr. Bush indicates. And so his first knowledge that the property was in compliance was when they made the request for lien review. And as you know, the letter of noncompliance, an imposition of a fine, the letter of noncompliance would tell them that that they would have to notify the inspector upon the property being brought into compliance. And just, I'm sorry, I need to clarify for the record, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach, speaking. So the position of the staff is that we're willing to accept the explanation that they may have been in compliance earlier, and we're willing to reduce the lien to 10% to $1,500.
Mm-hmm. All right. Does the board have any questions for the respondent or for staff?
Whose case is this? Is the property in good shape and everything?
The property is in full compliance
now. We've achieved what we wanted when we...
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else want to ask any questions? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $1,500, subject to being paid within 30 days. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right. We have a motion from Mrs. Himes and a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right. Motion carries. All right. So you'll pay the $1,500. We've reduced your fine from $15,000 to $1,500.
Okay.
That will cover the costs of all this paperwork and everything that's gone on. If that's acceptable to you, and it's payable within 30 days, if you'll get with the secretary, she will tell you how to.
I can have some papers to that, so
yes.
I can mail you a check.
Yes,
thing.
Mr. Bush, the Bellflower Drive address is the current one, correct?
1008 Bellflower
Yes,
Drive.
I'll send you everything there. I can also email it to you, too.
I appreciate you.
Okay.
Right, thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
Am I free?
You're,
yes,
yep.
Sir,
you're done.
Thank you.
All right, lien review number two. This is CEB 0809-150, 342 North Charles Street, owner Bertha Perry and Janice Hodge, care of Lucy Desmore.
And yes, ma'am, and...
As the you're the respondent? Okay. Yes.
You know, we have... Later view
okay.
Three is also the same property address
mm-hmm.
and the same owner, just two separate cases.
So we'll
two
hear...
Two separate liens.
We'll hear them one at a time.
Did you have a copy of it?
You got it.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Lucy Desmore.
Okay. And what is... Oh, go ahead.
Please raise your hands. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, what is your relationship to the owner?
I'm real estate broker, Real Estate Experts of Central Florida, and kind of passed by the property as it's a kind of a unique story, but... I came across a member of my church, and she's here with me today. Her family and her we provided a training, first-time homebuyer seminar out at Fifth Third Bank a while back. And circumstances around that, this particular party ended up becoming homeless over that time. She is a member of our church, and then I came into knowledge about the property and started making contact with the owners because... My husband's family and everyone, they already knew the owners of the property. But
so what is your relationship to the owners
that
of the property?
That is the situation in that respect. Contacted them because we happened to pass by that house and said that would be a unique property to do something. And made contact and realized that we actually knew them, thank goodness. And but then from there, I made contact with Amy and... I kind of did some checking around and found out that there were a lot of liens on the property because it was vacant and there was a lot of things going on. The owners was not aware of that situation because they had been receiving mail. Apparently there are three sisters. There are two still living. The one that is deceased was actually at that particular home. And the mail was still going there because once we got there to bring it up to compliance and go in and start working, we saw a bunch of the letters and that type of thing there. The two other sisters live, one in New York and one in Tampa, Florida, and the one in Tampa, her mail had been going to her previous address in Hawaii, as a matter of fact. But anyway, they agreed to, my suggestion to them was I have someone that is in need of a home. you're not coming back to the area, and if you would consider to please, we'll bring it up to compliance with your help, and they did exactly that. That package shows a lot of the things that a lot of money had to be spent and put into it to bring it up to compliance, but I had volunteers from the church as well as the owners making sure the water meter was put back in, the electrical panel was checked off. We had that has been completely done. Everything in the house has been totally refurbished, and everybody just kind of pitched in and got it put together. And at that point, I said to them, if you would deed this property over to someone in need, which would be free and clear, she won't have a mortgage, she will not have any rent to pay, she will simply need to pay her property taxes, of course, once a year, and her homeowner's insurance. And they agreed, because as I explained to them, if you let that part go, it simply will start again and you'll end up getting fines all over again. So that's where we are today, and we are asking for, after spending all of this money, to please review and reduce our amount.
Has the property been transferred yet?
Pardon?
Has the property been transferred to the new owner?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you have a copy of that in your packet, the deed and affidavit. There are two sisters. It has been signed over to Mrs. Patricia Shaw. The other one has got to be, the attachment wasn't there this morning. She sent the whole, she said, here's my deed back, and I looked and I didn't see the attachment, so I have said, well, I've got to go ahead and go to the meeting, so by the time I get back to my office, the other one from the other sister should be there, but the one in New York, Senate, everybody has signed off, and they got it notarized. Summit Title Company is handling all the transactions, so I'll be taking these up to Summit Title after we finish the meeting.
Okay, so they haven't been recorded yet?
Haven't been recorded, but we do have them signed over, and Summit Title will be handling it.
And the current owner, is she present here or someone present?
That's the current owner.
She will be the current owner, Ms. Shaw, yes. And I've already.
So you're here speaking on her behalf.
Yes, and she's been given the keys to the home, so.
Okay.
She's quite satisfied.
All right. Mr. Jackson, what would you like to tell us about this case?
Madam Chair, members of the board, the staff has looked at the situation and received and heard from Ms. Desmore. It's a noble effort, and the staff's request is only that there be a $250 administrative charge for each one of the cases.
Okay, does the board have any questions for staff or for Ms. Desmore?
Let's have two separate motions.
Yeah, we'll make two separate motions. So for each one, $250 is what you... Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $250, subject to being paid within 30 days. Is there such a motion?
No.
Second.
Mr. Smart made the motion, and Mrs. Himes made the second.
I'm sorry, could you just clarify which case number it was for?
I'm sorry, this is for lien review number 2, CEB 0809-150. Okay.
Now, Chairman, I'm just wondering whether we would want to include that motion to our closing.
Payable at closing?
Provided what they're on standby. The owners will send down exactly, yes, and I'll have it within a couple of days anyway. So, yes.
All right, would you amend your motion, Mr.
Yes.
Smart? All right, and your second?
Yes.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right. So we are amending the motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $250, subject to being paid at closing or within 30 days, whichever comes first. Okay? All right, and for the second lien review... The third lien review, actually, but the second one on this case. This is CEB 10-11-146, 342 North Charles Street. Owner Bertha Perry, Janice Hodge, care of Lucy Desmore. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $250, subject to being paid at time of closing or within 30 days, whichever comes first. Is there such a motion?
I move.
Second.
All right, Mr. Smart is the motion. Mrs. Himes is the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's move on to the our continued cases from previous meetings. Case number one is in compliance. Case number two, CEB 09-14-93, GEA Seaside Investment. Is the respondent present? All right, we'll hear from... Do we have someone?
Yes.
All right, good. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
My name is Jackie Moles, 6068 Rest Dive Drive, Port Orange, Florida.
Are you here for 635
Okay, that was announced
in compliance.
Okay, so
as of this morning.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go back to case number CEB09-14-93, GEA Seaside Investment, 316 Butler Avenue. Are there any respondents present? Okay, we'll hear from staff.
Good morning. The only thing that's different from our previous meeting is that the property at least has the appearance of possibly being occupied. Nevertheless, what has been previously reported by staff and is still the case is that there has been no contact made, no contact from the owner or any contact with a tenant. Or let me say specifically, no contact from the owner. And just information for the board, what the staff is asking for is $200 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000. Additional information I think the board should be aware of and is that the this owner investment investor is, GEA Seaside Investment, Inc. is in bankruptcy. They're in reorganization. In a prior case or another case that's we've had quite a number of cases with them, most of them related more to the rental property program. And in those cases, we notified their bankruptcy attorney as well as their bankruptcy trustee that we have these cases going on. My position is that we go ahead and fine them. If there's any concern, of course, you can ask Mr. Sino. I would think if there is any concern, that concern would arise at the time that we're enforcing the lien. But in any sense, my position is that we would move forward with fining them $200 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
All right. Any questions from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, October 9th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is
so
there
moved.
Such? We have a motion from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. We will now go to case number three, CEB 09-14-94, International Beach Club Condo Association. 313 South Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
Okay. Please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Susan Hendez. I live at 1008 Chippewa Trail, Holly Hill, Florida.
Okay.
Raise your hand, please, ma'am. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll hear from staff first.
Good morning. This case is the inspector is David Newell. The one of the violations, as indicated here, is that the elevator did not meet upgrade standards. The solution by the respondent is that they're installing new elevators, and the inspector is requesting that the case be amended to the December cutoff to allow them the opportunity, the time to get those elevators installed.
Okay. Would you like to add anything?
No. Unfortunately, I did not have a clue how extensive of research is required to replace the elevators. I just received the final quote last night at 12:01 a.m. Okay. Our board of directors will be meeting Monday with the elevator contractor to sign the agreement and apply for the permits necessary to do the both elevators and bring them in to complete modernization. This will be a full, complete upgrade. Okay.
The sprinkler system has been taken care of?
Absolutely. It was done within 10 days of the last meeting. Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondents until December 3rd to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of the fine. Is there such a motion?
No.
All right. I have a motion from Mrs. Himes and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye. Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Okay. All right, let's move on to case number 4, which is in compliance. Case number 5, CEB08-14-90, Harold W. Hunter and Lisa Hunter Davis at 803 Madison Avenue. Is the respondent present? No. Are we going? Do you want to consider case 5 and case 6 together? They're two different addresses.
What are two different requests? So you may want to keep them separate.
Keep them separate. Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Yes. As to case number 5, the inspector is John Stinson. The property, the previous, when we were previously before you, they were in need of an eviction, and they had started working on it then. They're still working on an eviction on that property. And so the staff is requesting that this case be amended to the next cutoff.
You have proof that they're working on the eviction? You have some paperwork they showed you?
And no, sir, I don't have any paperwork. The property owners were present in the last hearing.
Yeah.
But they have made good progress, and in fact, you said they're in compliance, or we're already on it. It's on the second case, which kind of leaves us having good faith with them.
Are they in compliance on it? Or is
they
are in compliance?
They are. Yes, they are.
Okay. They're in compliance?
I would suggest you want to continue this next month, get some paperwork. The process is just it's ongoing.
Absolutely.
Pull it up on the clerk's website.
Yeah, it would have been cleaner to have that acknowledged.
Are there any other questions? Do we want to wait till Ms. Hampton looks up this?
Well, we stand on the business tax receipt.
I'd have to look to the inspector, Mr. Stinson, there, asking whether or not he's obtained the business tax receipt as of yet.
Yep. Okay. That's not working.
That's not loud.
The two properties, the 803 and 809. The 809 property is vacant, which no longer requires the BTR.
Mm-hmm.
The 803 property is currently under eviction, and it will not be rented again, so they won't need a BTR there as well.
Okay.
Good. So what you're asking for is another 30 days to...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not seeing anything, just quickly, but...
Okay.
There's two names here.
I believe, at least from the perspective of staff and Mr. Stinson, can. Well, why don't I check with him before I say?
Okay.
Yes, as expected, the position of staff is that There were two properties. They worked in good faith, accomplished what was desired on one property, the other property. They were working on it. The inspectors' feelings are in working with the property owners that they are working in good faith, and in any case, whether they clearly have that done or not, they're not in compliance, and he's willing to give them the additional time. The staff's belief is that they're still working on the eviction, as they've indicated, but in either sense, they're not complete with the compliance, and he's willing to give them until the next cutoff to have their compliance complete.
Well, my concern is that they're not working on the eviction. There's no, so far, we don't know if there's paperwork, and you can't legally evict somebody without that paperwork, and you at least need to start that process.
I guess if nonetheless, Madam Chair, if they are complete, and the reason we don't see it is that the eviction is complete, then they still would need to have just a period of time to get the property into compliance. And so waiting for that next cutoff, if indeed we find that they have not even worked on the eviction, or the report ultimately is that we're just getting started, then of course the board can deal with that appropriately at that time.
All right, they were first notified. So they fixed all the violations, except what have they not taken care of?
As you can see by the photographs on the 803 property, which is the white building, what is remaining is the outside storage and the parking in the rear. The front building has been painted. They've addressed the majority of the outside storage. Majority. There was quite a bit more than what's there now. They replaced all the screens. Like I said, they're working on the parking. They've removed most of the outside storage. They've repainted the property. they replaced the screens. The roof has been repaired. It was just fascia work. The detached garage is basically full of the tenant stuff, so they really can't touch that at this point. And the exterior surfaces have been corrected by the painting.
So it's your opinion that they're making a good faith effort to get all this cleaned up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until November 5th to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine.
This is for case five.
This is in case number five.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case number six.
I've been informed by the inspector that that property is now in compliance.
Okay.
The compliance date?
excuse me. The compliance date is going to be 9-6. I'm sorry. Wrong case.
All right.
Ten six.
Yes.
10-6. All right. The property's in compliance. We don't need to do anything. We'll move on to case number seven, CEB 09-14-96, David Duncan and Tim Scheiber. Property is located at 610 Brentwood Drive. Respondent present. All right. What would you like to tell us about this, Mr. Jackson?
The inspector in this case is Mr. Stinson. As you may recall, at the previous meeting, one of the respondents were present. I believe it was, well, I don't remember which one.
Mr. Scheiber?
Okay. Yeah. And there was a little discussion or dispute as to even the status of the case from Mr. Scheiber's perspective. He said he was closer to compliance, and the inspector pointed out a number of things that still needed to be done, which included stuff around the windows and so forth, a broken window where he said all the windows were done and so forth. The status as of today is that, subsequent to that meeting, a vehicle struck the house, but it was only on the corner. Then the inspector's perspective is that it was not a substantial a collision. Nevertheless, the to, at least from the appearance, there's been no further effort that the inspector could see of any effort to come into compliance. And unfortunately, using the expression of the concern of this, the fact that the house was struck. But in addition to the not having complied with what was remaining, you may remember that at the prior proceeding it was announced that the parking had stopped and the parking has now resumed in the yard. So the position of staff is that there's just not a good faith effort to move on and get this thing done. And the staff is asking for $100 a day fine to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay, any questions from the board?
That's $15,000.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or it reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. A motion by Mrs. Himes, a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right. Move on to case number 8, CEB 09-14-99, Bank of New York, Mellon care of Select Portfolio Servicing. Is the respondent present? All right, Mr. Jackson.
If I can have just one second.
Sure.
This is case 311 San Juan Avenue. The inspector is Edwin Lopez. Okay. The on this property, nothing's been done. This is a vacant property. It was secured by the city. The respondent hadn't done anything. It was a citizen-generated complaint, and it appears vacant and abandoned. I just verified that we did get the green cards back on for a signature on notification. Position of staff is to request that this property be fined $250 fine for $250 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
Any other questions? Okay, the board will entertain.
One question.
Go ahead.
Has there been any contact at all with the owner?
And I'll look to Mr. Lopez for that.
I know at the last meeting stated there wasn't any.
Okay. No. He's indicating now that no, there still has been no contact at all.
All right, the chair will anything else?
Well, no response. Let me make that clear.
Do we have a correct address? Has that been checked?
You have that,
please? If you've got the green card.
We have signed green cards.
We've got the green cards been
green
signed.
Card, right. Signed for, so apparently right. Somebody's receiving that notice.
Yeah. And just for the record, just for clarity, it's been addressed as indicated on the your Stalia case to the Salt Lake City, Utah address. Bank of New York Mellon, care of Select Portfolio Servicing, Inc., and the Salt Lake City address. And then and that green card was signed, and it was signed August 25th, 2014, and then also to their registered agent, also Salt Lake City address, and that card was signed August 25th, 2014.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion from Mr. Harrington, a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. We will now move on to case number 9. which is CEB09-14-100, Victor Ingram and Agnes Ingram, 526 Wallace Street. Respondents present. Mr. Jackson?
The inspector on this case is Edwin Lopez. He informs me that as far this is a progress report. The progress that he sees is that nothing so far has been done. He's not been notified or requested to come in or see anything, and he has no knowledge of any work being done. And to his knowledge, nothing's been done.
Okay. So
it's still set for compliance.
Our compliance date is still set for November 5th.
Yes.
So we need to take no action and wait till that time. Is that correct? Okay. That's what we'll do.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I have one question.
Go ahead.
No progress has been made regarding cleaning up the place. And what about the squatters that were living there? Have they done anything?
There was no squatters. There was tenants inside the apartment. It seems to be vacant at this time.
Okay, because I know that last time he said that didn't have any tenants, but their squatters were living in the house and it's in the process.
Yes, that's correct.
Go ahead, Mr. Harrington.
I have a question. It's theoretically, do we have the right to revisit a thing even though we've given a compliance date and we've asked for progress and they don't make any progress? Can we revisit?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I'm not suggesting we do this on this case, but let's say it was a date of December or January.
Right.
I would certainly want to revisit if we had two consecutive months with no progress. So
what I don't have a problem with it. What I would suggest is that we put it on the next agenda, though.
That's the way we would do it.
You don't have to, but that would be the better way to do it, I think.
Okay.
Put it on the next agenda, give an opportunity to be here.
Okay.
All right, and we can then move on to case number 10, CEB09-14-101, Loxley Newton at 360 Weaver Street. Respondent present. Okay, this is supposed to be a progress report as well. Yeah, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Unfortunately, it's a similar situation, Madam Chair. The inspector informs me that there were no permits pulled, and there's no progress that he has been made aware of.
Okay. So that this case will come back to us next month. And that's all we need to do on that. All right, thank you. All right, now we'll move on to our new cases. Case number 11, CEB10-14-105, Antonio Audi at 1305 Fifth Street. Respondent present. Yes, good. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
My name is William Cross with W.A. Cross Consulting Engineering. Address is 1138 George Anderson Street, Ormond Beach, Florida.
Your name, sir?
Yes, Antonio Howie.
Okay.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, let us hear from... Well, first of all, do you agree that some or all of these violations occurred at the time of notice, when you got the notice?
Well, we don't really agree with the violations because we don't feel like what was done there, what Mr. Audi had done, even required a permit.
So the answer is no?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let us hear from staff, please. Then we'll let you speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the respondent had pulled a permit for installation of a door.
For what?
Installation of a door.
Okay.
The inspector in this case is John Stinson. The inspector indicates that and I will have him to testify as well, but that the work that was done far exceeds the permit. And that there is permitted work that that would have required permits, where permits were not pulled. They needed, and the request is that they get the permits for the additional work or restore the property to its original condition. And our call inspector would ask you to look at the photo evidence and the testimony that he will present. Mr. Stinson, will you advise to ask you to come forward? Well, you can stay right there. That's fine. You have a mic. And just go ahead and advise the board of what knowledge you have or what's your belief that this property has been altered to where a permit is required.
Okay. John Stinson, code enforcement inspector with the city. There are two permits. Well, there's one permit that was actually issued. That was a permit for the replacement of the front door. That was applied for on 8/13, approved 8/13, and issued on the same day, 8/13. Secondly,
this is a copy of that.
They can have that, yes.
Okay. And this was also
absolutely
second.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else? Anyone? Like I was saying, the first permit was for the replacement of the front door, which they obtained. The second permit they applied for termite removal, termite damage removal. Now they applied for this particular permit on 5/27/14. It is currently under review. It has not been issued. According to the notes by the permitting officer, Brent Cohen, his notes state that they need to provide a draft plan locating the areas of work to be done. Plan must clearly show scope and extent of work. Those are the only two permits. Well, one permit that was issued, the other permit that was applied for. Those are the only two pieces of paperwork that the city is aware of when it comes to permits for this particular piece of property. Through my numerous inspections on the property, you can clearly see that all of the windows have been replaced. You can clearly see that there was a garage that has been transformed into, I guess, a portion of the house. It's pretty evident you've got clear wet cement. If you look at the pictures closely, you can see the two-tone of the house to where the rear of the house has been extended. And there's also a picture up here from the back view to where you can see the two different exterior surfaces of the building. So clearly there was a whole lot more than just the replacement of a front door and the remediation of termite damage. As you can see that picture right there, the interior is fully tiled, but the violation, we had laminate floor up there. And studs, nothing but studs, no walls, just studs. As you can see, the fence is still dilapidated. And lastly, there's no address numbers on the property. So ultimately, this is why he was cited for working without valid permits.
Mr. Stinson, window replaced. You said the windows were replaced. Does the window replacement require permits?
Yes, they do.
Okay, you said the garage was transformed.
The garage, carport, whatever you want to call it, to the right side of the building, as you can see in that picture, right there. Clearly, that's brand new work.
And permits required for such work?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
And you said the rear was extended?
That's correct.
And permits required for that work as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you found no permits were pulled?
That's correct.
Okay.
I have questions.
What? Okay.
Are you the co-owners or
the owner?
Todd is the owner. I'm just an engineer representing.
You're an engineer.
Yes, sir.
So you're familiar with permits?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm familiar with the permit, but Mr. Audie bought this property sight unseen through a foreclosure property. He's from up north on New York, and when he went in there and took the plywood off the the garage, the windows were there. That work was done prior to his ownership or taking care of it.
All right. Let's hear from
the respondents, and then we can ask them questions. What would you like to say?
Well, everything was there. When I took the plywood out, the window were there, the blocks, they were there. Okay, it was another car park. It was a garage. I would have rather had a garage than what is going on there. Because, but it was already there. It was all plywood. And that's all. I didn't do any of that work. And then when he put a notice on the door, I tried to go get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him what I was doing there. And I even called a proper appraisal and told him that there is a garage that, you know, it was turned to a room because it was already there, the room. I didn't make the room. Only thing I done the cosmetic work. I painted all the sheetrocks. I took all the, like you were saying, the laminate floor and I put tile because that's my specialty. And I did all the knock down inside. I cleaned up the place. I replaced some sheetrock. And when I went and applied for the permit, Brad told me he can give me no permit because I need an engineer. So that's when he's commonplace. He needs a drone to give me a permit. I went there more than once because he kept on putting notice on the door that I need a proper permit. So I didn't know, I want to make the guy happy. So I go to Brad 2-3 times and he says, first he need a letter from a general contract, which I have right here. If you want, you can.
Okay.
So I brought him the letter from the general contract.
Thank you.
And then he said to me, well, I need an engineer drawn, and if the engineer writes the letter, we're going to satisfy this. Then I had to go back to New York. We were in the process, but my engineer was there, and he told me the same thing, that what I'm doing there, I don't need a permit. There is nothing structural I'm doing. It's all cosmetic. The block, they were already there. I didn't put the blocks. When I took all the bore out, they were already there. The window, they were already there. Only the plumbers there, the electric's there, my engineer was there inspecting the place, the general contractor was there, and I don't know what he wants me to do. So and then I put a front door. I didn't know that. I thought he needed a permit for the front door, which they charged me double for that permit because he said I need a permit for that. So I went and got them, and they gave it to me, and they charged me double because I didn't get the permit on time when I put the front door. But as far as all the stuff, I got an engineer, I got a general contract, I tried to make him happy, and I don't know what else to do. But what he said is a carport. It was never a carport there. It was a garage where it was already converted to a room. And I contacted the property appraiser. They know that there is a garage there. It's not like I'm hiding something. I would have had the garage then. He goes out without a garage and lose a body. That's
okay.
As far as my knowledge.
All right. Questions. Go ahead, Mrs. Hines.
When did you purchase the property?
It was in March.
Of this year?
Yes. And there is another property right across from that one. It's all boarded up. And if you see, you can see no window or none of that. When I bought the place, it was all boarded up. When I took the plywood out, there was the window there. I did not replace no window.
Okay. Any other questions?
Can I see the windows again?
I have a question for the engineer. When did you get on board?
Actually, I was asked to come on board sometime in August.
Okay, so the first time you saw this property was in August?
It was after sometime in August because the meeting I was to have with Mr. Audie, he had emergency calls, some property back up in New York, so he wasn't there. We set it up again later on. I'd ridden by and looked at it, looked in the windows, but I couldn't get in. And then he came back just last Monday.
And so you have no knowledge of this property prior to August of 2014?
Right. Okay. Yes, sir.
The new windows or the old windows?
The frame that you had out.
Let's go back to the violation photos, please.
If I may, and while you're
go
looking,
ahead.
If it's okay, I don't believe it's as difficult as anyone feels it is right now, because the circumstances is that, and we can present additional evidence that this property was in a prior condition. permits have not been pulled. The mere fact of purchasing or obtaining a property where work has been done without permits doesn't relieve the current owner of the responsibility to obtain the permits. Whatever issue he had about not knowing that when he purchased is something he has to resolve with whoever, the seller, not with the city. Work was done. The work was done without permits, and there now permits are required for safety, for as required just by the building code. So what they need to do now is obtain those permits or restore the property to its original condition. Mr. Stinson has prior case information that will show that this property was not in the state, and it may have been well before February which is the date that the deed was recorded, February of 2014, but that will not relieve this owner of the now having the obligation of making sure he has permitted work in the property.
Tony, what do you do with after-the-fact permits? Let's assume arguendo that he went for a permit, and he had his engineer certify that all these things that are required in the permit meet the code. Does the building department accept that, or they want to go out and do it themselves?
It is done by the permitting, by the building department, and it's case by case depending on the circumstance, if I understand right. I'm sure Mr. Garcia Heck would be able to express that a lot better, since that's his area of expertise.
In a situation like this, you're asking if the engineer report would be accepted.
He went and got a permit, but used the engineering report in lieu of your inspections. Do they do that here or not?
Yes. Okay. They would accept the engineer's report. So, in other words, the permit would be given.
Right.
The engineer would send the report attesting to what the work was done and that it was done properly. That gets put into the permit case. And the building department then signs off on it. Then it becomes
in compliance. Well, Mr. Cross is on board. I don't. If that seems to be the way to solve this problem,
right? But the idea is that through permitting and licensing, and the individual that the respondent is attesting to is Brent, who's the planner in the building department. He's asking for the scope of work,
okay,
a plan detailed of the scope of work. I mean, if we look at the photos from August, you can see there plainly that that is fresh cement, and the window is new. Keep scrolling, it'll show other work that's been done on the property.
Why don't you provide the picture before that? If you said that he's got all the evidence, because, you know, now I'm getting very upset about it because that was there. I didn't do none of that stuff.
And we're not... Just clarification, we really don't have to, and I don't think we're necessarily saying that you did. What we're saying is it's fresh. And whether it was there when you got there or not, looking at it now, it's still fresh.
That's because that's how it looks concrete a lot of time.
Okay. That's true. It's not painted.
Well, I mean, it's fresher than permanent.
I'm having a little bit of...
It's been changed, altered.
When was it changed?
There's no permits. Whenever it was changed without a permit. It's clear it was changed.
So if the previous, I just want to understand this. If the previous owner had done this work that was not permitted.
And had it hidden behind a slats.
It was all wood. It was
woods.
All plywood.
Yes. I'm sorry. For clarification.
When I took the plywood out, that's what it was underneath.
I mean, that's
and when I tried to get a permit, I went to the builder, I told him what I was doing, fixings, I had all the sheet rock, the painting, tile, and I told him there was a little termite damage or whatever, and that's what I was doing, and Brad said to me, I need a general contract. I got a general contract. After I got a general contract, he tells me if the engineer comes there or an architect, and say him doing the cosmetic work, there is nothing structural, I'll satisfy the permit. But then I had to go to New York. I had two engineers in it. One was from Tajamir, was from Palmquist. And that's the second engineer. And both of them, he's no structural work, it is all cosmetic work, and he can talk about it. He inspect the place.
I want to understand one thing. Are you saying that when you purchased this property, there was... plywood.
That's correct.
Frame.
It was plywood.
And once you pull the plywood off.
The garage, I can tell you how it was the garage. The garage they had a light.
Wait, let me follow this. You took the plywood down.
That's correct.
And that's when you seen these white windows.
That's correct.
With the concrete.
They were all the way around the house, and the front where the garage was, they had a design plywood board around, and I took it out because I thought, you know, I could do the garage back in, you know, just eliminate all the plumbing down in there. But when I saw there was a concrete wall there, I just left it alone, and I contacted the property appraiser, and they know that there was a room there, which I want to have a garage. I didn't want the room. Now, the place has no storage. I'd rather have a garage, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, house without a garage loses volume, to my knowledge of what I've been doing. But that was all there, and it was all plywood.
If I may, the letter itself from Mr. Periotti says, and y'all have viewed that letter, I have inspected the said property and have found that the garage has been enclosed and a room and bathroom has been added. When this took place,
yeah,
I am not sure, but
it
looks to have been there, whether it's, he says, for some time. For us, that's not our issue. Our issue is it's without permits.
But I try to get a permit.
Okay, all right. It is kind of complicated for me. So who is responsible for getting the permits? The new owner or was the old owner responsible?
Foreclosure, there's no old owner.
There is no.
Right, and okay. We have our issue is only with whoever is the current owner of the property.
Okay.
And that's
and he has, and my other point is that he has been to the building
several times,
permits and licensing, several times. So it's confusing to me, this case. It's not all that clear.
The only time when I was...
I understand that you understand that you need permits, okay?
Yeah,
you're responsible for permits.
Okay,
I did try
to get a permit.
All right.
The last time I spoke to him...
All right, it seems to me that you got an expert on board with you.
That's right.
Correct. Okay.
And that's what
why can't you resubmit your permit application?
Right.
Have Mr. Gross help you with it. Get the scope in. Then he can certify
right.
that the work has been done, assuming if it is, you know, that it's been done to code, which I know this gentleman is not going
to
certify if it's not. That should take care of happy, make you happy,
right.
and that should solve the problem. It's
yeah.
making it more complicated than it is.
It would be helpful if you had somebody from permits who would just stand right here and say, this is what you have, A, B, C, D. Then we would understand a little more clearly where the confusion is in this process. Is that possible?
Well, I mean, I don't mind that.
I mean, what does the man have to do to get the permit?
Yeah, but again, I think the standard here is that it's not that y'all have to figure out what they got to do.
Right.
Other than the fact that
that is correct.
All he has to do, according to this, is provide a plan of the work.
May I speak?
Yes.
Ms. Baldy pointed out that Brad had pointed out that to him that he needed a floor plan showing. The work was done, and if I inspected it and felt like it met the code, I could sign off on that. We brought in another licensed general contractor who is now and does nothing but design of that. He came in and says, well, what do you want me to draw up? He says, you know, as far as he understood the code, he had not violated any structural things. So he says, you're wasting your money to have me just draw it up again. So that's why it wasn't drawn up. Now, if that's what it takes to satisfy it, I'm sure that we can work that out. We don't want to have this violation because he's ready to go ahead and finish the thing up.
Yeah. No permit is always required the same thing. Either someone's going to verify that it's to a certain standard, or they're going to have to pull it apart to determine whether it's to that standard. That's just the reality. This is a picture from 2009 of what we're looking at.
Okay.
Now, understand, that's 2009.
Right.
But it's completely different. And that's the only point that the staff is making, that there has been a change. And unfortunately, it take it as we find it when we find it. So
right.
we found it now.
Right.
This is
I
the
understand.
Owner. And
you
so that's
that
the
same.
Right.
Is back before I bought it.
Is it not true that even though he bought it, he's still responsible?
He's correct.
That's
correct.
All the things.
Correct.
That's correct.
All right. So that you're going to have to get permits for either the work that was done in the past or the work that you expect to continue to do. Whatever you need permits for, you have to get them. And that's it. Then that's all we can rule on.
And the rest of it is not really something, well, what I don't know, this board doesn't know what permits that you actually need. Permits and licensing can tell you that. You stay in touch with your code inspector, but I don't think there's another issue for us to consider at this point. Go ahead.
As I understand it from what Brett needed, he needed a floor plan showing the work that was done there. He needs a professional opinion from a professional engineer that the work was done within code. And that would take care of the previous work that was there. And the work that he's doing now, it's our understanding that it does not need code because we're not doing any violation.
That is not up to us.
I understand. I'm just telling you why, how we reacted to it.
Right.
And I'm sure Dottie would agree. I'll sit down with Brett and work it out. And if we satisfy
that's
the
fine.
Building department, then that should satisfy the code enforcement.
Right. Yeah. So, and our belief is based on what the indications of the people that are on board, that this can be done by next cutoff.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So the chair will accept a motion to find the respondent noncompliance in order respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 11/5, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, a motion by Mr. Smart and a second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So we've given you till November to get your permits. Thank you. Okay. All right, let's move on to case number 12, CEB 10-14-106, Juan Lopez Jr. and Florinda G. Lopez at 136 Maplewood Drive. Are the respondents present?
Yes.
Hello.
Can you just go back for one moment?
Sure.
Let me know who made the motion.
Smart.
And Mrs. Himes.
Thank you.
All right. Good morning, sir. Would you state your name and address for the record and be sworn in?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juan F. Lopez, Jr., 136 Maplewood Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Well, first of all, do you agree that some or all of these violations occurred at the time that you got the notice?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. All right, let us hear from staff.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is... I'm looking at... Oh, no, that's the right one. This case is... The inspector is John Stinson. This is 136 Maplewood Drive. The violations, all the violations have been dealt with except those that are most severe here, which is this pool situation. Everything except the pool and the enclosures has been remedied. And so the staff is requesting that... that the respondents be found in noncompliance, be given 10 days to comply to get this pool. And this is complaint generated.
Okay. All right. Mr. Lopez, what would you like to say?
Looking at the pictures, my pool was drained. But with this extensive rain we had, it has since, filled up. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as it was. excuse me. With the enclosures, I have, as I told Mr. Stinson, he's out the other day, I'm going to enclose the bottom, but the top, I have to have some professional work done, and I would need some time to raise the money to get that. I have a daughter who's ill. I have to help her out with her finances and so forth and things like that. And to be honest, I would not be able to comply with the pool's situation outside of the bottom within a 10-day period.
Well, Mr. Curtis, as far as the
Lopez,
securing
sir.
Of the bottom and the cleaning of that pool, how long is it going to take you?
The water, I have, as I told Mr. Spencer, I have a pump. I can pump the water. But in order to enclose the top, I have an appraisal at that. I do not have the funds. It would take me more than 10 days to acquire those funds.
I realize that, but I'm just saying, well, the concern that I have right now, and I don't even know if 10 days is too long, is the opening on the bottom and that pool. Somebody could get hurt. Kids, every day somebody's drowning in a pool around here.
I have no children at home.
Yeah, that's not your children.
So, you can get members of the board. You can give as much time as you want in terms of the top, but as far as the bottom is concerned, it's got to be done as soon as possible.
Yeah, just one point of clarification is that there is a perimeter fence on the property, and there's additional. You said double. What?
It's pretty much double enclosed. You have the actual enclosure. Yes, it is dilapidated. However, the property itself is fenced off as well.
Good.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the board?
Two motions, one for 10 days, or do you want to wrap it in one motion?
If it's secure, that's not the only.
Okay. Well, I guess we.
But we give them the extra time for the.
The top, but not the bottom. Correct? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, we're asking for the whole thing. I know he's saying that he can't do it all. And I'm not sure how y'all want to deal with that from a perspective of the water.
But if it's secure,
we have to have a water.
If it's secure, then, it's just a matter of, it's not an immediate issue.
We clearly have a water as the immediate issue. And I will presume Mr. Lopez realized that, at least in this area, it's not uncommon for a drain pool to pop up. So. That's a risk that's the solution. I'm not saying don't do that. Whatever you do is the solution.
Don't tell what to do.
When it comes to
But even if it's trained, there's still a danger there.
Well,
some kid falling in.
I'd like to ask Mr. Spencer, is there any safety issue involved here?
I don't believe so. I mean, obviously, it's an issue. I mean, the water is green. It can harbor the insects and everything. The actual access to this pool is denied due to the perimeter fence.
So
until next time.
Yes. Well, again, as it relates to the water in the pool, we clearly have right now in our community a safety issue related to mosquitoes and waterborne illnesses, and so it's very important that anyone who has concern, and this concern arose from the concerns regarding the pool, that this pool be remedied. Now, as to the enclosure, it's always anything could happen. It's an open enclosure, so we can't sit and say everyone will be safe. We can tell you that it does have a perimeter fence, and hopefully anyone that's inside the perimeter fence will not be put in any danger.
But Mr. Lopez said he could drain the pool quite quickly.
Yes, sir.
It's just the enclosure that he... No, it's the top of the financial...
As I said, I had it drained, substantially low. But this heavy rain has brought all of that back up to that level as it is. And as I told Mr. Stinson... I do have a pump that I'm going to, I can pump that water. I purchased one, just for that purpose. I know it's going to rain until I get enclosed and get my pump working again. It's going to continue to come back. So having my own personal pump, I can maintain, the water out of there. And I do add chlorine additionally, but the rain, of course, washes the chlorine out.
So you could drain the pool today?
Yes.
It's just the enclosure that would...
Yes, sir.
Okay. And again, I don't know if draining alone is going to be a complete remedy. Probably it's going to need to still pour some chlorine or something to so we don't have the disease bearing insects.
Yes, I agree with you. Until, like I said, my pump has gone out, so, normally past the pump was working, there was no problem with that, but draining the water is no problem. My biggest issue to me is just, the structural enclosure like that. And as I said, I can do the bottom. I have the materials to do the bottom myself. The top, I have an estimate to have that done. I just need the time to raise the funds with the other expenses.
How much time do you need to raise those funds?
Because of what I had to take care of my daughter, her medical bills and so forth, I'd like to ask 120 days. I don't think it would take that long, but I'd rather have the time and not need it than need the time and not have it.
All right.
We feel completely the opposite.
Okay. What would be your recommendation?
Our recommendation would be 10 days to take care of the pool, and next cut off to take care of the pool enclosure. And again, if you need the additional time, I don't know, you can address that when he comes in, but our position is it still needs to be done. It's an important requirement. Pools are important, and I understand the difficulty. I'm not disregarding the difficulty that he's expressing concerning illness in the family.
All right. Any other comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance with regard to the unmaintained pool and the dilapidated pool enclosure and come into compliance with the unmaintained pool within 10 days.
Yes, ma'am.
And to have the structure fixed, the dilapidated pool enclosure fixed with before the next cutoff date, 11/5, or be returned for consideration of a fine. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Smart and a second by Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right, do you understand what we've done? We've given you 10 days to get that pool cleaned up. Any way that it needs to be cleaned up.
That pump the water is no problem.
Well, whatever. And so just so that's not a code issue and it's not a safety issue. And then we've given you until the next cutoff date, which is the 5th of November, to fix the pool enclosure.
I guess I can say this better on the record. And the more you do, the better everyone's going to feel. So, I mean,
right.
If you get the bottom done, and it's just absolutely
start
impossible.
Start with the bottom.
Maybe you can make an argument and they'll accept it. I don't know if this is Apple accepted or not. Do as much as you can as far as trying to get that bottom closed, at the very least.
Well, the bottom I can take care of.
Well,
the top. And draining the water is not a problem.
Okay.
Very
thank
good.
You.
Thank you.
Mr. Lopez, as soon as you, Mr. Lopez, as soon as you finish the pool, call Mr. Stenson and tell him.
Oh, yes, I will.
Yes.
So he'll know that you have complied if he needs to come out to inspect.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right. Case number 13, CEB 10-14-107, Holly Hill Plaza, LLC, care of Bruce Strumpf and Ace Cash Express at 854 North Nova Road. Is the respondent present? All right. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and be sworn in.
Marion Harrell, 800 George Hecker Drive, South Daytona.
And what is your... Okay, go ahead, Amy, sorry.
Raise your hand, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Can you state your name one more time, please?
Marion Harrell.
Thank you.
And what is your relationship to the Holly Hill Plaza?
I'm the district manager for Ace Cash Express.
This one, it was...
Okay. And you have permission to speak for them.
I received an email at 11:07 last night that I needed to be here this morning. So
okay. All right, let us hear from staff.
What's different?
It's different location, that's all.
The inspector on this case is Mr. Stinson. I'm sorry, I missed Mr. Harrell's role.
District manager.
Okay, and well, that's great because, of course, we have two of these on the agenda. On this specific property, 854 North Nova Road, the property is now in compliance, but there's been numerous issues with this, mainly the banner signs for staff, and so. Of course, we on this case, we would like a finding of non-compliance, and then you can find them in compliance, which would be the effect of the will fine.
And
And the will fine is how much per day are you suggesting?
Not a fine
at this point. Right. Okay.
It's found him in noncompliance, noncompliance, dismiss the case.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to... Would you like to say something?
No, not really. I didn't, you know, I just happened to see our name on this one. I thought I was coming for number 14. The adversarial signs are down.
Yeah, it's going away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dismissed the case, so let them go ahead and take the motion.
All right. Chip, go ahead. Did you want to say something? Okay. Go ahead. Do it, please.
To find him in noncompliance and confine him in compliance.
Okay. Motion to find respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance. Motion has been made by Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Let's move on to the next case, which is CEB 10-14-108, James Ashburn and Ace Cash Express, doing business as America's Cash Express. Address 833 North Ridgewood Avenue. We'll hear from staff.
On this case, the staff reports that this property is not in compliance. There was a contact made to inform them that I think they had removed the banner signs, but they still had window signs that were not in compliance. And I'm being informed that's still the case. So the staff is asking that it be found in noncompliance, be given 5 days to comply.
All right, Mr. Harrell.
Our company employs a facilities management company that handles all this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was aware that they had sent a handyman repair company out to remove the banners,
mm-hmm.
and was told that they were applying for a permit for the window signage. And again, as I said, I learned last night or this morning at 6 when I opened emails that I was to be here today. So my understanding was that they were handling any required permitting. I do have a question because I'm really unclear on the exterior signage that's there on the windows. Is all of it out of compliance, including our logo and our hours of operation? And I think they are too at the facilities company because I had talked to them a couple of times.
All right, we'll let the code officer explain what's not in compliance.
City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer Michael Fitzgerald. As you can see, my fingernails is on the paper. It's on the exterior
right.
of the window.
Yeah.
It must be on the interior of the window.
Okay, my question is this, and there's some pictures, too, of our entrance door where we have our logo and our hours of operation.
On the inside.
All that has to be on the inside. Okay.
Well, let me just make sure we don't get ourselves too far here. Because your specific circumstance probably is best addressed by maybe getting with the inspector, and he can probably answer each question as far as the inside.
Yeah, I'm really confused. It's
signs.
Been that way for however long the company's been in business.
So I'm encouraging you all to get together, and he can explain whatever you need
to know. We'll bring it in compliance, but I don't understand how come,
Okay, then you will get we'll make a motion to find you in noncompliance in order to respond and come into compliance by the next cutoff or be returned to the board for a consideration of a fine. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, is there a second? All right, motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right, we've given you until the next cutoff date, which is the 5th of November, to get everything in.
We didn't want that.
Yeah, but that's what they voted.
I'm sorry.
Sir, you may, since you're out.
It's not about safety, welfare reasons, anyway.
Okay.
I'm asking if they would set it aside and give them 5 days, only because I don't want to create unfair advantages of other businesses by them having external signage when that's not allowed. Because that's what we're going to hear when someone else has.
All right, we need a motion to reconsider. Is there such a motion?
Anybody can make that.
Anybody can make the motion.
I'll second it.
All right, motion by Mr. Harrington and a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right, what we're going to do is
have a new motion. The motion, the chair will accept a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order to respond to come into compliance within 5 days or to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Harrington and a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye. Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So in 5 days, all this signage has to
sir,
be fixed.
I'm going to make a suggestion that's out of the purview, but you might, if you're outsourcing your signage, you might want to sit down and ask your purveyor there, does he know all the permitting laws in the area, and that would avoid
yeah, it. Because, I mean, I'm going to have to go take
it's
off.
It's not your fault.
Identify the entire thing.
No, don't speak with respect. The only thing we're asking for right now is that outside sign where he was showing his finger. So that can be removed in an hour.
Yeah,
I can probably the next 15 minutes.
And then get in touch with your code inspector and let him see that.
So it won't be today.
So it's just that one sign we're talking about?
No, it's every window.
He says it's on every window, but the external signage is the problem right now.
Correct.
The banner signs were removed.
Yes.
The external sign is the only thing that's the current violation.
Okay.
Now, would any of the other ones be a violation? That's the conversation you want to have, but at this time they're not. They're not cited as such. So you want to get a conversation so you can know if there's have some clarity on what the rules are.
All right,
we'll move on to case number 15, CEB 10-14-109, Venture 15 LLC at 2696 North Atlantic Avenue. The respondent present, please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and be sworn in.
Good morning, Craig Wells, 132 River Lane, Ormond Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Raise your hand, please, sir.
What is your relationship to the property owner?
That's a special purpose entity, and I work for the ownership group. So.
Okay, for you work for Venture 15?
Yeah, it's owned by the Becks family.
Okay.
Baron Becks right over here.
All right. Do you agree that some or all of these violations occurred at the time of notice?
Yes, with out our knowledge.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, and this is one where it happened, it ended, it's now in compliance, but it's one where we want to will find. It's going to be to keep it from happening. So whatever that takes, they'll do it. We have that on, that's this property and the next. I don't know if he's related in any way to the next property, but they're exact similar situations.
Okay. Go ahead, would you like to say something?
Yes, I would. And I talked to Mr. Fitzgerald. I got the notice of violation, I think, on the 6th, yes. According to the report. I actually called him that day. Yes. The same day we employed a towing company. The property was used without our permission. We didn't have any agreement. I want to be a good neighbor to Mr. Cardos. He's the neighbor to the north of us. He's going to be speaking next. I found out about by the newspaper article. I go, holy cow, that's our parking lot. So I talked to Mr. Fitzgerald. He understood that. The first day that I visited, there was just cars parked there, which wouldn't require a TPA or anything like that. He said the next day there was tents, and I'm not disputing that. You know what happened there. I went to Mr. Cardos that afternoon. I was actually irritated, for the lack of a better term. He could probably attest to that. But I'm going to be a good neighbor and not start getting cars towed out that night because it looked like they're just parking there. That's not a unapproved use of a parking lot. By the next day, you can see there was some tents up, and we've got pictures of that. Again, not disputing that. What I'm trying to avoid is this was, for the lack of a better term, a trespassing situation. I don't want to get our first mark on something that we didn't even do. We've since put up, and there's signs. I've got a copy of the agreement with the tow truck company. I mean, we didn't know about. We don't want it to happen. We didn't want it to happen. I don't want my first warning, for. I'm asking to withhold adjudication, or I don't know what the what the term I'm supposed to use. I'm not an attorney, but I did watch Matt Lockick a lot.
To find him in noncompliance, just to dismiss the case. It's a question of the board's decision.
Okay. Was there someone charging a fee for putting those?
No, we didn't get anything out of it.
No,
that's,
I mean
that's
somebody.
My next conversation.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Jackson, what is it that the staff is?
No, there was no one from our.
No one from your
fee. Okay. We didn't even know what was going on.
The staff is requesting that it be found in noncompliance, and the reason for that is our perspective is that while maybe they didn't know, that's the circumstance with many of the things that happened. They didn't know that the signs were signs in the front, but they do know that they own a piece of property and that they have to prohibit unlawful use of it, and whether that's by having someone doing a drive-by, watching it themselves, whether it's by having a contract with a tow company or whatever it takes, and putting barricades or fencing, whatever they feel they need to do. We just want this now to be something that they're shown to clearly need to deal with.
Are you asking for a will fine?
Well, that's the effect of it. It's always the effect of a will fine when there's a finding of noncompliance. We're asking for a finding of noncompliance.
Okay.
But we acknowledge that now they're in compliance, and they immediately came into compliance.
And we have a fence there.
Okay.
I had a fence there. The gate was opened.
I don't think we received
event.
Any trespass.
All right. But, okay.
Arrest or anything.
No.
Trespass
complaints. No, I did not. Okay. I'm trying to be a good steward of the community and neighbor, and not gonna.
The
day I found out they're gone, the next day, Mr. Fitzgerald, I believe, would agree with that. I talked to him extensively on the phone, and we took immediate action. I guess my, and he recommended that I come to this. I was surprised to actually hear the contrary right now, but I just wouldn't want the mark against us for something without our knowledge. Every other property we own in town, the family that I work for owns lots of Daytona properties. We always keep them in premier condition. I've worked with Mr. Officer Hernandez before. We had a mini burst hit one of our other buildings one time, and we had to get a little extension, to get that fixed because we were working with the insurance company. But,
okay.
Everything that we own, we keep really good.
We're just going to talk about this case and this property.
Okay.
All right, so the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance. Is there such a motion? All right, motion by Mr. Smart, second. Second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay.
Is that the
I thought it was a will.
All it means is just that they make a finding that you were not compliant at the time. That's all it means. Nothing happens.
That's not the will fine?
That's the will fine.
That is a will fine?
Wait.
Yeah,
excuse me. Wait a second. Let's finish one conversation at a time here.
Okay.
Mr. Garcia.
Close that from the mic. I'll talk.
Okay.
For clarification from Mrs. Himes, what was just brought before you was a new case. So the property we wanted in order of non-compliance at the time of the violation, and it is in compliance now, that automatically puts that property in a position for a will fine. So if the violation occurs again, then instead of giving a notice of violation, we automatically send out a notice of hearing, and we bring it before you all, and then you can impose a fine at that time.
What the respondent was saying, please don't do that to me. Just dismiss the case. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, I have no problem in the past.
Right.
If there was something we did, I would be more than happy with that.
I understand.
Right.
So,
but it's done.
There's no option to reconsider.
Let me ask Ms. Hines, do you understand?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm happy to come out of her.
He did it without my permission. I mean, it's not a, I understand that.
It has to be the same violation, the same location.
Right.
Right.
So I would
be a problem. I'm one of those people that never missed school growing up. I mean, I don't. there's no even opportunity for a reconsideration on that.
All right. Give you an 8-7. You're okay.
Yeah.
No?
We've ruled on this case. Do you want to reconsider?
Well, I know the city has its position in my heart. I'm willing to reconsider.
Motion to reconsider.
Motion to reconsider. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion to reconsider from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
If I may.
Well, no, not yet. You may not.
Well,
you just hold on.
I don't know if
it's just a reconsider.
We're going to reconsider.
That's all it is, right, at this point.
Because
motion
to
reconsider was adopted.
Motion
now,
to reconsider.
Motion.
Well, that has to be heard.
That's correct. All right. Would the...
So the motion stands.
Someone can make a new motion. We're reconsidering this.
Mr. Sino, Madam Chair, I mean, if it's a reconsideration proceeding, then we still have a right to be heard. I'd like
we haven't
to
got there yet.
Correct. Okay.
Do you understand? We haven't got there yet. Let me see what happened. Is right now you opened it up to a motion. Now, is there going to be a motion? There's no motion, then it stands.
Yeah, that's what I said. They voted the reconsideration down.
No, no, that's just to bring it back to you there. Now, we okay. need a motion one way or the other.
Oh.
Now you can give opportunity to everybody. If there's a motion, the opportunity to be heard.
The motion for noncompliance and dismissal is what I guess I'm asking for.
Okay. Right now, is there a new motion? If not, stay where it was.
Would you like to make a motion, Mr. Harrington?
I would like to make a motion to reconsider.
You have that already.
We did that. We need now. We need a new motion.
I would like to make a motion to simply dismiss.
Okay, good.
All right, we have a motion to dismiss the case from Mr. Harrington. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Mrs. Hines. Now.
No, actually, it's not really a foreign procedure, Mr. Racina, but what I was saying was once they made the motion for reconsideration, we should have been able to have an argument prior to a motion on what action it would take on the reconsideration.
Well, this is the data they can action.
But nevertheless, the there's not a whole lot more I can say, but I did want to say something more. And that's that. I think we all will have to ask ourselves, where are we going with this? The whole reason we eliminated that whole phraseology of will fine and giving a will fine was because just by statute alone, a finding of noncompliance established what we call the will fine, established the determination that someone would be treated as a repeat violator the next time they're found in violation. Basically, what this respondent is asking you to do is not find them in violation. And if you can feel right in your heart that that's the answer here, that he just wasn't in violation, then I guess that's where you are. But our position remains that he was in violation. There are things people who own property, they're responsible for. We can have people come in with trash all over their lot and say, well, everyone else is throwing trash in there. And we would say, then you'd have to do something to keep people from throwing trash in your lot. We don't just say, well, okay, well, you've always had other lots all around the city that are nice and clean, so we won't call that a violation. And so you just have to ask yourself how we want to start viewing and defining violations, and are we going to be consistent in the way we do it?
I'd like to just propose that this is not a matter of heart, it's a matter of fact. And the fact is that this person, this group was in violation. And that's all we're saying. We're not saying anything more than that. Whether it was meant or it wasn't meant or someone else did it, it doesn't matter. And to me, that's my position.
Well,
so you may have other positions.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If we follow what Mr. Harrington is saying, that we dismiss the case,
mm-hmm.
if this happens again, and Mr. Wells appears before us,
mm-hmm.
if he'd like to never see him before,
yes, absolutely.
Clean slate, right?
Yep.
That's correct.
Well, not really. I mean, you have
go ahead, Mrs. Hines.
I like your thing. I'll debate all of that with you when it comes to the city's responsibilities for their property.
Well, Mr. Jackson, do I understand what you're saying is let's not set a precedent, because when you do this, then there's going to be others. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I've always taken the position that we don't really set precedent. I mean, you're going to look at each case on standing on its own. So I'm not going to go that far to say you're setting a precedent. I'm just saying that understand that the nature of what you're reasoning doing. And what you're reasoning, the basis of your reasoning and how you're getting to this reasoning and ask yourself, are you looking at the facts and you're being fair? And I do want to make sure, so we don't miss it, that he does get an opportunity to be heard as well. So I think he wanted to be heard.
Okay, I'm going to withdraw the whole thing because I'm losing here. But all I can suggest is next time you don't use your heart, just call the police.
Yeah. So it's, you don't have
don't try right. to be a good neighbor, no. And then you probably wouldn't
look,
be here.
Let's do the same motion again.
What I would like to do, the chair will entertain a motion to dismiss the case.
Okay.
We need a vote on that.
We have
that motion has been made and seconded, so we're going to vote on that motion. All right, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Nay.
Okay, not everybody. You
Let's
need
have
a roll
call
vote.
Vote.
Ms.
Hodge? Nay.
No? Mr. Smart?
If I may, I think the...
Wait, so we're in the middle of a motion.
I understand, Mr. Sino, but I believe it's still this respondent saying he hadn't had a fair opportunity
right.
to respond.
All right.
And so,
give him an opportunity to speak. Right.
I'm trying not to make... I hope I'm making myself too well known to this board. I apologize about that. But I understand all that was said, and I understand that completely. I look at that scenario in a way of responsiveness to what occurred and the way it occurred. And I understand the thing, if you're their property owner, you're responsible to it. As soon as we found out about the item, we addressed it immediately. We took care of it. We weren't the person that created that, just like the person that threw the trash on. Okay. But if someone throws the trash in my yard for one day, I don't think code compliance would come down and send me a fine. We reacted, you know, in as quickly as possible. So I'm not saying that it didn't occur. I'm not saying that it's not the property owner's responsibility. What I'm saying is that it's not a situation where we made an error and we complied with it. It's a situation where something, just like someone throwing trash in your yard, to borrow his example, you know, we went and cleaned it up that day. In that scenario, I don't think if Mr. Fitzgerald had my phone number and he had called me and said, "Hey, I got a complaint on this," I would have been down there with a baseball bat asking people to leave. Maybe not a baseball bat. That's a little aggressive. But I would have been back down. I would have taken my 3-year-old, 5-year-old and said, "Don't get us in trouble." No, you know, but, you know, that's the action we would have taken, and I'm trying to express that to this board, and it was important enough to me that I sat through some really interesting conversation this morning and waited for, this opportunity, and I'm not saying that all some of these other comments, I don't think you're setting the precedence. I watched everything get weighed fairly. Some fines were $100 a day, some were $250 a day. That, you know, I'm telling you, in this unique situation, it deserves a unique solution, or asking for the board's consideration of that. No, I guess that's all.
Because I'm here as counsel, Mr. Garcia would like to be heard, and if I can just, if you will indulge us for that.
We're in the middle of a motion, and I guess that we're going to suspend that for a minute, and we'll hear from Mr. Garcia, and then I'd like to make a comment as well.
Madam Chair and members of the board, the respondent, the property owner, the representative of the property owner, is pleading a case. And I'm fully aware of that. I was out on that day of the violation. This was an event that took place. It was announced. Okay? The hotel, the gentleman from the hotel, we spoke to him and asked him, "Did you have anything to do with this?" Because we were guided by the people there that they had consulted with the gentleman at the hotel, the general manager. I don't recall his name right now, but he and I had a conversation. The violation was fixed. In the sense of that day, we told them, "You have a couple of hours, vacate the property, and be done with it." So the property owner or his representative had not been aware of it until we sent the notice of violation. So for him to correct it, it was already corrected. The object of what we're saying is the incident took place. There's no dispute about that. It was in violation. The property was in violation. Whether he had knowledge of it or not, the violation still occurred. The violation was remedied that day, not because of him or anyone else, but because we went out there and said, "You guys have to vacate this property. There is no permit for you to utilize this property. All we're looking for is, if it happens again, whether he has knowledge or somebody else does it, the property get a fine." That's it.
Well, when it comes before this board,
we bring it before you.
It
correct.
Doesn't mean to fine. It could be. You could dismiss it then.
You could dismiss it then. It doesn't mean that there's a ding on the property or anything else. The property is in compliance. The bottom line is, for us, on an administrative purpose. Correct. We're doing something proactively. Instead of having to send the first notice, we automatically send the notice of hearing. We bring it before you all. He can plead his case. If that's the case, or the property owner, and we state our case, and that's it. That's the intent of this whole thing. The word "will fine" and everything else has been taken out, but that's right. What this purpose,
exactly.
The purpose of this hearing and this going on right now.
I have a question. How much time elapsed between the event that you saw and the when the property came into compliance?
The property was utilized, if I recall correctly, the night before. They set up, they did what they had to do. We were made aware of it late in the evening. Of course, code enforcement doesn't work 24 hours a day, so we went out there the following morning and took care of it. When we went out there the following morning, they were packing up and leaving, and some of the tents were still set up, or some of the trucks were out there. We said to them, look, you can't be out here. You need to pack up, and you need to go.
We found out about it afterwards. So it was within hours, as you mentioned earlier.
The event was in the paper. It was in the radio. I mean, again,
almost a silly number.
It's not to punitively. We're not punitively going after them. This is,
thank you, sir.
We're not punitively going after the property owner. We're just trying to have something so that this way now we have proactively done what we are. This is the purpose of us being here.
All right, right now we have a motion and a second to dismiss, and we're in the middle of a roll call vote. Let's start the vote again. Please, Amy.
Mrs. Hines?
Nay.
Mr. Smart?
Nay.
Mr. Harrington?
Aye.
Ms. Cundy?
Nay.
Motion fails?
Yes. Motion fails.
I apologize for creating all this conversation.
Let's go back to the original motion now.
The original motion was to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance.
And dismissed.
And dismissed.
Right.
We need a motion now to do that again. The board will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance and to dismiss the case. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mrs. Himes. Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of second. I have to pass the gavel.
Then you can second it. Then you can second it if you want to.
All right. Mrs. Himes, no. Mrs. Himes has to make the motions. I will second the motion. All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed.
No.
That's 2-2.
2-2.
Okay, let me explain what happened.
Right.
Now, let's just understand.
Yeah,
since we went ahead and agreed to reconsider, we had a motion to dismiss that failed. Now, the chairman came back with the original motion, which the motion had been approved originally. Maybe Ms. Smart didn't understand what I'm saying. It was to go ahead and find him in non-compliance, now in compliance, and dismiss. So that's the motion. That was a miss. Ms. Himes made the motion. It was seconded by the chairman.
That was an original motion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Dismiss?
Yes. No, first would be to find him in non-compliance, now in compliance, then dismiss the case.
I'm sorry, helping clarify there. We don't usually say the word and dismiss, but it
right.
just always
yeah.
means that.
Right. Okay. Okay, so let's redo the motion again.
I motion that we find the client in compliance. I mean, not in compliance,
right.
but now in compliance.
Okay.
And to dismiss.
Right.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion by Mrs. Himes and a second by Mr. Smart. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed.
No. Okay, done.
All right. Motion carries. Case is complete. All right. I think we'll move on now to case number 16.
My name is Michael Cardos.
With an H.
Kardos.
Okay. And you are, sir? You're representative of
the Attorney Beach Resort.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Your relationship to the property is that you are?
The general manager.
General manager. Okay. And you have permission to speak for the property.
All right. Do you agree that at the time of notice that some or all of these violations occurred?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Here we go, Mr. Jackson.
Ditto all arguments. It's the same circumstance.
Same circumstance.
Excuse me, same circumstance, or this is the initiator of the whole thing?
Well, there's one difference in that. No, these were neighboring properties, and they were crossing the property line of both properties. The only difference would be what Mr. Garcia indicated, which is that he went over and spoke to that property owner. I guess Mr. Carlos, at least is what Mr. Garcia was indicating. But other than that, everything else would be pretty much the same.
Well, somebody promoted this. Who promoted it? Was it both properties or just this property?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It most certainly does matter.
In what way?
If you go and promote something and it winds up on your neighbor's property and you want to blame the neighbor for what the other person did, I'm saying no, it does matter.
Well, it does matter. That may be a civil case, but that is not what we're considering today. That's not our responsibility.
While my inspectors aren't standing here, I'm sure Mr. Carlos would speak to it, but I believe that it was neither one of them. Is what I was.
Neither. Nobody
was
generated.
Nobody generated.
It just happened.
If I may.
Go ahead.
The event that took place was the motorcycle cannonball run. We were approached by the event planner, and he contracted a certain number of rooms for us. The event involves antique motorcycles that the participants bring down in trailers. When the event was booked, he requested if we had space available for trailers to be parked that would be hauling these antique motorcycles. We'd worked with Mr. Wells in the past with regards to the utilization of the lot on a legal basis. I thought I had a discussion with Mr. Wells with regards to utilizing the lot. He informed me I didn't.
Okay.
I may not have. Okay. But at any rate, we were told by the event coordinator that what they needed was a place to park their trailers. That's what the lot was intended for, as far as its use. The other events that took place during the event with regards to the tents and whatever else was going on over there was unbeknownst to me or Mr. Wells. It's my understanding, in speaking with Mr. Fitzgerald, that the event coordinator did apply for a permit for that use of that lot, but did not follow through with that. And we did not even know about that. So, again, our assumption was the lot was to be used for trailer parking only for a short period of time. And the one tent out in the front of our lot there, when we were told it was not permitted, was immediately taken down.
All right. The chair would like to make note that Mrs. Himes left the meeting at 10:54.
Is she coming back?
Yes, she's coming back.
Let's wait till she gets back.
So we're going to wait to do anything more until she gets back, okay? Thank you. We'll just take a little break till Mrs. Himes comes back.
I think we don't have a quorum anymore.
We don't have a quorum, so we're going to wait.
Do we want to recess?
Yes, please, recess for a few minutes.
Tell me. Yeah, we're recessed.
Okay.